Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on December 23rd of 2020, also known as Christmas Eve Eve. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to discuss, well, no real shows ran on Toonami last week with just some more DC animated movies. So we'll be discussing those. The non-Toonami stuff we cover, and also we got around to finally seeing Saga of Tanya the Evil, the movie.
Uh-huh.
So that's a bunch of stuff. Well, let's get into it. So we'll start out with the non-Toonami things, just to go through them. We have Ghost in the Shell, episode 38, I think. So in this episode, I'm sorry, this is 39, not 38. But, let's see, what's this thing? Okay, so we had a really cool cliffhanger in the last episode, and we pick off from that cliffhanger, and it's interesting. And then the episode just decides to devote the rest of it to a conflict with a character who I guess was around before. I didn't even remember who he was. Like, did you remember him?
Nope.
Because he's like, what was his name? Pazu or whatever. Because I do not remember seeing him. Pazu? I can't remember what they called him. But yeah, I'm like even. I'm looking at the like episode synopses like list, and he's first mentioned in this episode, so I don't know, was he like a new recruit? Because everyone acts like he's like a well-known member of the team, and I don't remember him at all.
Yeah, I didn't remember him either. I was like, oh, surely he must have shown up sometime, but I couldn't remember it. I was like, okay, yeah.
So, but yeah, it's about how he gets framed for a murder by someone who makes this perfect replica of him. So he and the replica, including apparently memories or whatever. And so then they fight, and one of them dies, and then and then they're just like, well, I guess that settles that. And then they're just like wondering, so did we get did the real one survive? And Bot Ho just says, eh, probably. So, yeah, this was not an episode I was particularly interested in, because I had no idea who this, and everything acts like this is like. And the series, and the episode, like, acts like this is at least, if not necessarily, like, at the level, like, this is someone that we've known before. And it wasn't even one of those, I can't remember their names, but, you know, some of the other guys who work with Section 9 but aren't, you know, the super main ones. Like, you know, like that one sort of bald guy who's always there. I can't remember his name. It wasn't even one of those. It was just, like, this guy. And I'm just like, oh, well, okay, I guess he's been around and important or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't really interested in this episode. I was hoping we would continue along that individual 11 storyline that has started. It was like that seemed like it would be really interesting. They kind of just teased us with it and basically told us you gotta wait a little while if you want to find out more about that. So we have to wait longer.
Yeah, so that was Ghost in the Shell. It followed up a great episode with a not so great one.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have Yashihime episode 12. Right, 12. I think I accidentally didn't update these numbers, but yes. So In this one, it's about, remember, it's the new moon, which is the one that makes the half demons basically turn human, except it actually only affects, it only seems to actually affect one of them because, quantum. And, and so basically, because of, yeah, well, I mean, they kind of explain it. For Setsuna, it says that because she can't sleep and that doesn't affect her somehow. It's like, okay, that's weird, but I get that. For Moraha, it's just like, well, I'm a quarter demon, so I guess that doesn't happen. Wouldn't you think that a quarter demon would be more affected? Like, they would have it on the full moon and new moon rather than, you know, getting the advantage of not having to deal with it?
Yeah, that's really weird. I don't get that.
But anyway, they manage to hold out through, you know, until the night's over, and then they manage to beat the bad guy, and that's the episode.
Yep. Not much to write home about in this episode, but I guess the whole thing about Setsuna can't sleep, so that somehow makes her invulnerable, and that really doesn't make much sense at all, but I guess, so what does that mean? So that she's going to become vulnerable once they eventually find the thing they're looking for?
Yeah, because this is the second time her inability to sleep has been a benefit. It made it so that that one monster who, I can't remember the details, but they had some sort of sleep attack or whatever, but it didn't affect her. And they're like, yeah, that was good. That helped them win. Here, well, it makes less sense, but it is good. It helped them win. So why are you trying so hard to, so why is it so critical to let her sleep and dream and stuff when, by all, when it appears this is actually a benefit?
And for them, they say they're looking for it, but they don't really have any leads on finding it, you know? So, just not really that interesting of an episode.
Yeah, the other, I don't know. I just wish they had at least explained. Did they ever give any reason why they needed to use the dream butterfly or whatever it is to, like, fix her? Why was it necessary for her to be able to dream and sleep and stuff? Was there some reason for that? Because
it was just kind of like, well, you know, we feel bad for her because she can't. So, that was pretty much it.
Well, then that just doesn't make, if they had just said something about how it's something that's threatening her health and like she'll die early or whatever if it's not fixed or something like that, I would be like, okay, that makes some sense as to why they're trying to do it. But the thing is, sleeping is actually kind of a liability. It would actually be more useful if you didn't have to sleep.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could even say it was causing some sort of health thing because, you know, you do need to sleep or else your health suffers.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously this is magic stuff, so the fact that she can't sleep apparently doesn't act... Because, I mean, you just... If you... Because you'd be having some really bad health effects if you were literally unable to sleep.
Right.
I think... I think there is some record for the longest amount of time someone went without sleep, and then they stopped tracking that world record because they were worried that people would keep trying to outdo it and screw up their health. But, yeah, I don't know. It just seems so... I just wish there had been more of an explanation as to why it's important that gets changed to normal. Okay, so that's Yashahime, episode, what did I say? Well, I said it earlier, 12, that was it. Okay, so, we've gotten, that. So, as we noted, they did not air, the usual lineup, but it wasn't just a marathon, so there actually was something for us to watch. Instead, they aired Wonder Woman, Bloodlines, and Justice League, the New Frontier. So, I don't know. I guess we'll discuss them. So, we start with Wonder Woman, Bloodlines, which is about Wonder Woman. really, it's kind of... I can't really call it backstory exactly, because it starts with her backstory of how this guy who's fighting these monster aliens or whatever ends up on Themyscira, you know, the hidden island populated by the Amazons, and she's like, I'm going to go help him out, even though the rest of them, including her mother, want to keep him captive, so she kind of defies that and leaves with him in order to help a fight against... an enemy that is never mentioned again in the movie. I read in this, apparently that was actually, that was something that happened. It involved like some other, like Justice League movie or something that was a sort of somewhat of a tie into that maybe. But, I don't know. She gets, she comes back and then she just, I guess, starts living in our world, and then it kind of does a time skip, and during the time period, she's all become a superhero and is known to people and stuff, and then really the rest of it is just kind of a superhero story of her having to take on some enemies and go back to protect the island, and I'm not going to go through the whole plot. It's all on Wikipedia if you want to read it.
Yeah. I actually really liked the movie, though. I thought it was pretty good. I was really interested in it, so I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It is interesting that this I think I've seen at this point like three different versions of sort of her, the basic back, because all versions of Wonder Woman are at least all like the major ones. I'm sure there's some that went against this in some other things. It's always like, okay, she was the daughter of the Queen of the Amazons, and they lived on Themyscira, but then decided to go and help the rest of the world, so she left it to, you know, and became a superhero and all that stuff. It was interesting to see some of the specifics being different, because because like in the movie, which of course they're trying to really, they're doing this to try to, you know, get people to go out and see Wonder Woman 1984, which I haven't seen it. It's not out yet.
Yeah.
But I saw the original one, and it was kind of like that, except, you know, the difference was in that one, she does it completely with her mother's permission, from what I remember. In the Justice League cartoon series, she leaves without her mother's permission, but there isn't a guy who ends up there and she goes with them. They just find out that bad stuff is happening around the rest of the world, so she decides to leave to try to help such. So that was interesting. It also had the best joke of the movie, the purple healing ray joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting one in which I actually was unfamiliar with most of the characters in this. I mean, granted, my knowledge of Wonder Woman is the live-action movie as well as the Justice League cartoon series. But they had a bunch of characters that I wasn't really that familiar with in this. But nothing wrong with that. I do think there were points where it really felt like they just assumed you knew some of the big stuff. Like, you know, the lasso of truth. They don't, like, even call it the lasso of truth to so that you can say, oh, so that's how it works. It's just, it just is there and kind of get, and, like, that opening part where she, like, you know, is to show her mother how intense she is on, leaving. She, like, you know, wraps it around her own, arm to show, like, you know, she said, ask me again, you know, to show that whatever she says will be the absolute truth. And I'm like, okay, but you didn't explain what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, they just expected you to know that, and I didn't know that, so without your help, I wouldn't have, I would have just been like, okay, I don't get it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even if she had just literally wrapped it up and said something like, this is the lasso of truth, ask me again. And I like, then you could say, okay, that makes sense. You don't need anything. Just a name gives it away, but they never gave the name.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was probably the biggest problem, with, it. But, on the whole, yeah, it was pretty, one other issue is that they did not explain. So Medusa can turn people to stone, but the circumstances are very ambiguous, because you have people looking at her and not turning to stone, except then some people do, and I don't know. There's a part where someone looks at them, and then they're fine, and then they get turned to stone. So does she have to will it? How does it work?
Yeah. Yeah, that was really confusing. It didn't make much sense, but... you know, it kind of worked out, you know?
Yeah, I know. These are kind of more minor nitpicks. I mean, I could say in the original story of Medusa, the idea was that she was so ugly, anyone that looked at her would turn to stone. But in that case, why would Perseus... because he's able to look at Medusa without turning to stone if he looks at her through a mirror. But how would that change it? Wouldn't they still see the super, the crazy ugliness? or is it just supposed to be some kind of magic thing that does it, and the ugliness is just separate from that? Does that mean, like, if you were wearing glasses, you would be invulnerable to it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like. I'm remembering that this bit from Harry Potter where all these people are, where it turns out all these thing, the basilisk, if you look at it, if you look it in the eyes, it kills you. But then people don't die. They get turned to stone because they just don't look at it in straight away. Like one guy looks at it through a camera and another person sees it through a reflection and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was Wonder Woman Bloodlines. I guess not really that much to say about it otherwise. Then we've got to Justice League, The New Frontier, which is, I guess... it's sort of a story of the heroes getting together and forming the Justice League, except it takes place in, I think, like the 60s or 70s, someplace sometime soon after the Korean War. So that was a little weird.
Yeah.
So it just kind of focuses on them, and then they come together and they fight an enemy. And really, I need to emphasize a part on focusing on them is the majority of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was not as good as the first one. It was very slow-paced.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy this one as much. And, Yeah, it just took so long for it to develop that by the time it finally got to the action, you were like, okay, when's this thing going to be over with, you know? So, yeah, just unfortunately not as interesting. And though that fight at the end was pretty fun, so I like that, but overall, just an average movie.
What was interesting was I watched it and I kept thinking, wow, this is kind of reminding me of the first few episodes of the Justice League cartoon series with them just kind of coming together and fighting an enemy. So I seem to remember liking that one more. So I went back and I watched the first, the format of that show was that there would be like two or three episode long sort of mini arcs and such. And the first one was three episodes. So, I watched that for comparing. I really did not remember some things about that, right? Because so the cartoon series, so it's like the opposite in that in this one, it spends all this time on the characters and backstories and stuff. And that's so, but like the cartoon series, it does almost none of that. It's just they're there, like, and they apparently, for the most part, know of each other also. Like, you don't, like, outside of a bit on Wonder Woman, you don't really get backstory in the opening. Now, for Batman and Superman, it makes sense because everyone knows what they were, and they had already had their own cartoon series that this was kind of a continuation of. The Flash appeared on a Superman episode, but, like, Green Lantern, Hawk Girl, they're just there. Like, apparently people know who they are, but they're just there, and they just kind of come together and fight the enemy. It jumped much more quickly into the action in those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at that and I was actually thinking, wow, you probably could have it might have actually been better if you had spent a little more time here, introducing the characters a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess they figure that they had like a whole series to go more in depth on them on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see, any other things I wanted to mention. I did think it was it was sort of weird that they set this in the past. I think that was because that was when these stories, like the general stuff this was being based on was originally in the comics, because like the Justice League, the concept I think was made in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
During that time period, and I'm like, okay, I get that, but there's really nothing at all in this that ties it to that time period outside of saying, oh well, he were the guy who was Green Lantern, interestingly enough, a different Green Lantern than the one that was in that cartoon series I've been mentioning, he was like in the Korean War, and I'm like, well, yeah, but you don't need that for this. You could like, if you could have like had easily changed that to some other more recent war or something.
Yeah. It didn't need to be from the 50s or 60s or whenever. It was like late 50s, early 60s, if I remember correctly. But it didn't add anything to the movie at all. So it was just like, okay, that's a fact. And then they had a little bit about like McCarthyism in there. And I'm like, yeah, this movie doesn't seem to be the right place to be trying to make a political point, especially over something that most people are too young to even know about. So, that was weird. But overall, it was a solid movie. It wasn't as good as the first one we saw on Saturday night, but it wasn't bad. So I'll give it that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it did get me to go back and watch some of the old Justice League cartoon series. That was actually a pretty good show for the most part. There were definitely some flaws in it, and such. but on for the most part, it was pretty decent still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, so here's, I don't know, we briefly discussed this on our own before, but I guess I might as well bring it up in terms of the question of what, like, superpower would you want? In terms, I guess, now you already mentioned you would want super speed, and I just said, oh, I'd want mind reading. not even necessarily mind reading. If I could, I would be content with even a more specific one. I would just want to have the power to know if someone is lying or not. That would be so astoundingly useful. I want what Yuma had in World Trigger. That would be the most useful in real life. But if it came to, like, you know, actual crime fighting, if I was a matter of, okay, I got to fight crime, then it would definitely be super speed for me, because it just feels like that would be the one that would be best equipped for you to, you know, not die.
Yeah.
Like, super strength is great, but that doesn't give you, you know, invulnerability to things. Like, you're not Superman, where you just won the super power lottery.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But speed, like, mostly it's just the ability to dodge bullets. That's a big thing for speed. I guess you could go with, like, regular invulnerability even to avoid that, but that wouldn't necessarily help you in being able to, you know, get through stuff quickly. So I would think super speed would probably be the best. Assuming, of course, it comes with the fact that you apparently have some kind of... The fact that you're somehow able to not have to worry about friction, and the fact that you can just accelerate and decelerate instantly against when in real life that would be basically like hitting a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, we've got our stuff. Then we're going to get to Saga of Tanya the Evil, the movie, which we had been planning to get into for a while, but never really got around to it. Basically, what's the ready to say what the movie's about? Well, it's just a continuation of the TV series, and an actual continuation. We're not like Excel World, where it just says, okay, so this takes place, I don't know, 12 volumes after where the TV series ended. And this one actually continues it. The main plot of this one is, it's about the Federation, which is basically Russia. I don't know why they just call it the Federation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good Star Trek joke, but. So mainly the big thing is that gets drawn into the sort of war, and Germany or whatever its name in this world goes up against it. So Tanya and the others end up dealing with that. Meanwhile, there's that girl Mary, who we saw a little of in the original series. She kind of joined up in the army at the end because her father got killed by Tanya, if you'll remember that. So she's there and she wants to, you know, kill Tanya as revenge and stuff. So it really is kind of a matter of focusing on the two of them and eventually them coming in conflict, which basically Tanya manages to barely get a victory out of, although Mary gets away anyway. So, yeah, so that was I think I'm I'm not even, I, this is my problem. When I try to, like, you know, describe plots of movies, I just stumble because there's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's tough to get a whole movie and explain the plot, but it was basically just like a big attack on Russia, and then they win, and then that other girl gets involved, Mary, and then it becomes like a one-on-one battle, and then that's about it, you know?
Yeah. The other thing is, one thing that was annoying, because, see, so I had kind of know, I had already a while ago read a synopsis of this, so I knew the, like, general plot, but one thing that I was surprised was the movie does not, to my knowledge, actually say this. I guess it just assumes you're supposed to figure it out, but it does not specify the fact that the reason Mary has all this power is because Being X granted it to her, presumably without her explicitly knowing, you know, just as a way to kind of screw with Tanya some more.
Right.
So I don't know if you caught that or not. It was, I think we were supposed to tell that by the fact, like, her eyes glowed and stuff at points.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Speaking of which, that was, I was a little disappointed. Being X didn't interact with Tanya at all.
Right. That was probably my biggest problem with it. I was like, I definitely wanted to. Hold on a second. I just needed to do something here.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I was just fixing something on my TV. I thought that this was going to have a lot to do with Being X, so I was actually really looking forward to this. And I became really disappointed because it never mentioned Being X. I was thinking that this would be a perfect time to build up the whole conflict between Tanya and Being X and all that stuff. And it was the place where you could have a whole bunch of things happen and then, you know, have them resolved by the end of the movie, so that it doesn't change where we were at the end of the first season. But it didn't take advantage of that at all, and just kind of just was war. And that was pretty much all it was. And I was bored out of my mind at times because I was like, you know, the thing that got me interested in the show was the whole Being X thing. So I guess they just think we're fans of war. So if you like war, you'll enjoy it. But yeah.
Well, I'm not necessarily like, well, in terms of it being well, the movie, like I said, this is an explicit continuation of the TV, like, a series. This, it's all based on, of course, you know, the novel series, and then for the film, they just decided for whatever reason, well, let's adapt the next part of it in a movie instead of a season. Like, maybe they just figured, well, this arc would fit a movie length well, so might as well. But I am a little surprised that, because you briefly, there's a part where Tanya briefly sees that sort of nutcracker thing that, you know, is how Being X always appears to her, but then it just but then it's gone and she's like, huh? And then that's it. You do other than that, all you really get, I mean, Tanya mentions Being X at the end of the movie where she's like taunting him. He's going, ha, I'm doing great now, I'm out of the war and in a cushy position. And then in the mid-credits sequence, they find out, well, you've been doing a great job working back here. We've decided to accept all of your suggestions. Now you're in charge of a new military platoon on the front lines, which leaves her freaked out. See, that is one of the... I remember when we were watching them, I kept going back and forth on whether on like Tanya the Evil versus Overlord. Stuff like that is a big reason why I like Tanya the Evil a lot more. I mean, sure, she like wins her like at her like battle conflicts basically all the time, but the fact that in terms of the larger plot of her goal of trying to get away from the action, it always backfires.
Right. Yeah.
That was fun to watch. That part. I don't know. I actually really enjoyed the movie for the most part. Just goofy stuff like Tanya, you know, where she's supposed to attack the Russian capital as sort of a diversion, but then she decides to go so far with it as in, you know, setting up their flag and, you know, having a video recording of them singing their anthem there to really basically just troll them, which actually annoys the military brass because it'll make peace more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it for the most part. Some of like the war scenes were a bit overly long, sure, but I still thought it was entertaining enough. Although I have always been wondering as to whether are we supposed to think that Being X is actually like the god or deity of this world, or is it just some other entity, you know, that's just extremely powerful and is just claiming to be that?
Yeah, I wouldn't know that, but my opinion on the movie was that it was boring. I don't feel like an hour and a half of Tanya, she wasn't overly like crushing her opponents like in the past, but overall it just still felt more like her just winning at war. And there didn't seem to be any hook to it. It just was, okay, she's in battle and she's winning and winning and winning. And then she has a little trouble with Mary, but ends up escaping. And the only moment of the movie I really enjoyed was that post credits scene where everything goes wrong for her after that. That was funny, but it's like, You took an hour and a half to get to that point, you know?
Yes, actually, speaking of credits, I like the fact they had the credits music from the show there, because that's a pretty cool tune. Didn't have the main theme song, though, which I really liked, although that is one... I like the theme song, but I've mentioned it before, there's just this English cover of it that I really... a like on YouTube by like Amelie, something like that. I thought it was great, especially because she actually says in the English cover, the English lyrics of the original are actually said comprehensibly. Like the Japanese one, I didn't even know they were actual English lyrics the way they said and I thought it was like just like some random thing. Like when they're saying, like the lyric is, "I will walk on love," which actually is kind of a goofy lyric, but whatever, it's still kind of cool. Except they say it like oh, 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 and you're like, you can't even tell what that's supposed to be. I only knew it because I heard that in that English cover of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. That was the movie. Sounds like I did enjoy it a lot more than you did. I enjoyed it. I'm not necessarily sure how much I I, like I said, I enjoyed it, but I do have to wonder some things, like where it ends up going will be particularly interesting. I know Mary, it becomes a very important character after this. She's like basically the sort of main like enemy figure to Tanya. So I know that, but I haven't read the novels or anything. So, So yeah, personally, I enjoyed it. It wasn't the greatest, but yeah, it was kind of fun. I mean, the bottom line is, if you like the series, you'll probably like the movie. And unlike some other anime movies, this is an actual continuation. If there is going to be another season of the show, it will be following this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Konosuba movie. That's straight up a continuation of the anime series. I assume we'll get around to watching it eventually, but they still haven't put up a dub for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's our takes on the stuff. So I guess if you want just the quick ones, Wonder Woman Bloodlines good, Justice League New Frontiers not so good, Saga of Tanya the Evil the movie, we were kind of split on that.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but you liked it. Yeah.
Okay, so well, that's it. Guess we didn't really have that much to talk about this episode. But next episode, we've got something exciting. We're finally going to get around to doing our ranking of the stuff that we watched. Well, the stuff we watched enough of that we could really properly rank it. So, some of the stuff that we only watched a little of, we will not be eligible for this.
But, yeah, I really look forward to this because this year we had a lot of good stuff on the plate. And I had a hard time narrowing down things. Like there were some things that I wanted to put in my top 10 that I couldn't fit in because there were so many good choices. So I really look forward to this.
Yeah, I was having some real trouble ranking stuff until finally I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'll just take the stuff, I'll write them down alphabetically, and then I'll just pick them one by one. I'm saying, okay, this one. Well, this is like an easy, so I start with Excel World. Okay, Excel World. Well, there's nothing else on the list, so that's easy. Then next thing, Assassination Classroom. Did I like it more or less? Okay, put it there, and then I just kept going through the whole thing and sort of ranking them into next each other. That made things a lot easier doing it that way, but yeah, it'll be interesting. Some of the things I might still make a few revisions to my list. I'm still thinking about some stuff. The hardest part is the ones we watched towards the beginning of the year, because I'm thinking, okay, I know I like Dr. Stone, but how much did I like it compared to the other things? I haven't seen it in 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that'll be the exciting thing to tune in for next week. We won't really, because of all the holidays and stuff, we won't be really covering other stuff than that. I mean, there's a Yashahime episode. Maybe we'd briefly discuss that. But yeah, that'll be the big thing for next week to see our rankings on the things. What will be in first place? What will be in last place? What will be in the middle place? Well, you can find out.
Yep. Yeah, I really look forward to it.
Okay. So, we'll see you then, which will, I'm looking forward to it. Will be more interesting, will be pretty interesting to listen to. I hope.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to discuss. Whether it will be interesting to listen to, I am less sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Bye.